woman's got to move first. And when she sees the man moving and the man leading and the man owning and the man taking responsibility and the man manning up and the man stepping up and the man treating her as special, she said, oh, God, I got to take some of this. Because she was created to respond. What does a kingdom husband look like? What is a kingdom husband? This is Dr. Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I'm happy to try to answer that question from God's word today. Being a man and being married doesn't make you a kingdom husband. That takes God's involvement in that process of the definition of manhood. And what does it look like in relationship to your mate? We're going to talk about that today. So put on your seatbelt and let's go for a ride right now and finding out what it looks like to be a kingdom husband. This week, we want to talk about being a kingdom husband. Next week, being a kingdom wife. What you hear regarding the role of a husband, next week, the role of a wife, perhaps will be different than the home you grew up in or for your brothers or sisters who you're associated with. It certainly will be different from what the media argues. But you never let your sociology control your theology. You never let what society thinks and says and how it feels control how you function if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You start with what God thinks and society has to adjust to that. Because you see where society is going with the family, it's going crazy. Even to the point of redefining the family. What does it mean to be a kingdom husband? Regardless of where you are or where you come from, perhaps you came from a single parent family and you never knew a father growing up, so you never knew what manhood was supposed to be and how to treat a lady, and you never saw it. So you're working at a deficit. Or perhaps you had a male around, he just wasn't a good one. So the lessons you learned were bad lessons, not good lessons. Well, we can't change how you were raised. We can't change the influences you had in the past. But what we can do is start you from where you are and see God make you and me into what he wants us to be. This gives you who are single, if you're a man, something to shoot for in preparation for marriage. It gives you who are single ladies something to look for in marriage. And so it is absolutely critical that we understand God's blueprint for manhood as it relates to marriage, that is, becoming a kingdom husband. A man was on a plane one day, and he had his wedding ring on his right hand. He had his wedding ring on his right hand, not his left hand. He had his wedding ring on his right hand. The man sitting next to him said, "Are you married?" He said, "Oh, yes, I'm married." He said, "Well, you have your wedding ring on the wrong hand." He said, "Yeah, that's because I married the wrong woman." A lot of men feel that way. If it wasn't for the woman I married, I'd be better. I'd be stronger. I married wrong. Like Adam, many men say, "This woman who you gave me, God, it's your fault that I married to a woman named Eve." And so what men often do is seek to get out of the relationship when the problem is that the woman is responding to his leadership. And the misery he's living with is the same misery God is living with the man. Because he's out of order, she's out of order, he's mad that she's out of order when he refuses to get back in order. Before God ever created Eve, he created Adam and brought Adam in order underneath God. Because a kingdom man is a man who is operating underneath divine rule. God has say-so in his life. And just as he expects his family to follow him, God expects the male to follow him. When the male follows him, it's much more likely that the woman and the children will follow him. But if he's out of alignment and they're following him, everybody's going wrong. The Bible says in verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5, For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, I understand that a lot of ladies don't like that. I understand that perhaps you've been abused by a man, misused by men. You were raised up with an abusive father. You saw your father abusing your mother. There may be a whole lot of reasons why you don't like that verse. But hang with me. Because when you see this verse in relationship to what God had in mind, it's a pretty verse. It's a sweet verse. It's a I got it verse. Okay? He says that the man is the head of a woman. That brings up, what does it mean to be the head? Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of every man. And a man is the head of a woman, just like he says in verse 23. What then is headship? Unfortunately, far too many men misdefine headship, being the boss, being the dictator, telling everybody what to do. This is my house. I'm in charge here. All right? Well, let's get all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. In the Bible, headship means governing authority. It's like the head of state. The head of state has a governing responsibility that carries with it authority for that which they are the head over. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm the head of this house, me and my house. I'm the head of it. But the understanding in the Bible is to be the head means you are the one who happens to be assigned to be responsible for the well-being of that which you oversee. So it has to do with governing in a responsible way and exercising the authority that goes with the responsibility to achieve what the government is supposed to produce, which is in this case, the advancement of God's kingdom. So if you are a man, you are the head of your home for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom through leading your family in such a way that they are governed in the right way, that is to pursue that which advances God's purposes in history and in enjoy the process and the challenges along the way. One of the key words that belongs to headship is responsibility. Even if you're not to blame, you're still responsible. Why? Because husband is not merely a title, it's a position. It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility that you own, provide, protect, govern. All of that is tied in to headship. Now, the question on the floor, if you're going to be a kingdom husband, if I'm going to be a kingdom husband, is how does headship work specifically in relationship to marriage? You are to exercise the responsibility of headship in the context of love. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Love. So we need to talk about love. We throw the word around without fully understanding its biblical import and what it means. Because we typically define love in terms of emotion. You know, how I feel about something or someone. I love you, this is how I feel. And certainly emotion is a part of love. But let me give you the biblical definition of love. The biblical definition of love is passionately, righteously, and sacrificially pursuing the well-being of another. Three things. He says the first thing a man needs to know if he's going to be a kingdom husband is that he is to be his wife's savior. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see him speaking in the his/her language. What he says to men is that you and I are supposed to be love our wives just as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? To death. He loved the church to death. So if you still alive, you ain't finished loving yet. Okay? He loved the church. Love came in the shape of a cross. Now, the only reason you need a savior is because there was a sinner. In other words, we need a savior because we're sinners. Something's wrong with us that we need to be delivered from. So Jesus Christ became our rescuer. Savior means rescuer. He became our rescuer because we need to be rescued from something. Do you remember the promises you made to that lady when you first met her? You were going to take her out of her pain. You were going to take her out of the misuse and abuse of other relationships. You're going to take her out of a loneliness. You're going to take her. She may not even have to work full time when you get her. You're going to be her rescuer. You're going to be her deliverer. You remember all that noise you were talking? Well, that noise that we all talked before we got married was really biblical noise. We just didn't know the implications of it. He says a man is to be his wife's savior, just as Jesus is the savior of the world. What does that mean? That means whatever is wrong with her, you're responsible to be her deliverer from. Not just to complain about, you're supposed to be her deliverer. Now, he's going to tell you how to do it in a moment. But whatever is illegitimately wrong with her, because you are the head, you are responsible to be her deliverer. In other words, just as the church responds to Christ, one day you heard the gospel, you heard how much Jesus loved you, you believed in Jesus for your salvation, he forgave you of your sins, and he became your deliverer, your rescuer. That's what the husband is to be to the wife. He is to be her rescuer, her delivering her from those illegitimate forces that are producing wrong. And that doesn't mean a woman doesn't have a will, can't make her decisions. We'll talk more about that later. But suffice it to say right now, you have to own that. You are little Jesus in the house. A man one day came to me and said, my wife's crucifying me. I said, well, you said you wanted to be like Jesus, didn't you? In other words, you can't be a savior and not carry a cross. There's no such thing as a crossless savior. He says in verse 25 that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Jesus wasn't all that excited about what he had to go through to save you or me. Because remember in the garden, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So I hear many of you saying, if it's possible, get me out of this. All right? If it's possible, deliver me. Jesus wasn't all that excited about a cross either. But what took him to the cross on Friday was he didn't lose sight of Sunday. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He saw something bigger. He saw something bigger than what he was going through. When we as men, me, you, us, see that we have the opportunity to be deliverers, all of a sudden, headship is a bigger job and a bigger responsibility. That's why men who are single, you should not be in all that hurry to get married until you've developed responsibility under God so that you know how to carry out that role and not just jump in that role without being responsible for that role, messing up you and anybody else who's following you. So he says she is to be the wife's savior. The Bible says Jacob loved Rachel so much he worked 14 years for her. 14 years. In other words, he was willing to work for it. He was willing to earn it. He had to sacrifice time and energy to demonstrate his love, not just rap his love. He had to prove it. Brother had to show up. He had to demonstrate it. Ladies, don't believe it because it sounds good. Believe it because it's demonstrated to be good. Don't believe it because it wraps nice. Believe it because there is proof in the pudding that demonstrate that the love is real and is not going to be here today and desert you tomorrow. He says a husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans.
We've all seen circus juggling acts. We've seen acrobats. Whether they're throwing up pins or spinning plates, we've seen them frantically move around to keep things afloat, to keep things from falling and crashing to the ground. That's a similar situation that so many men today find themselves in. They're trying to juggle being a father and a husband, being a protector and being a provider, being a good worker and at the same time being a spiritual leader. It just doesn't seem to be working out for so many. The pins are falling and the plates are breaking. One of the primary reasons for that is an issue of alignment. You see, when you're out of alignment, then things don't stay stationary, and they can crash all around you. You see, a kingdom man is focused on alignment. He aligns himself under the rule of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then oversees everything else under his purview and responsibility, being aligned properly under him. When the alignment issue is settled, then God takes over to make sure that the pins don't fall and the plates don't break. You see, being a kingdom man means God is ruling over the man as the man leads in the responsibilities given to him. I want to challenge you. Don't just settle for being a male. Don't just settle for being any kind of man. You are destined to become a kingdom man, a man who is aligned under the authority of God. Being a kingdom man is your destiny. Being a kingdom man is your calling. You were created to be a kingdom man.
We now return to today's message.
Secondly, he says, a kingdom husband, because he's reflecting something bigger than himself, Christ in the church, becomes his wife's sanctifier. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. He sanctifies her, okay? First, God saves us. Jesus saves us. Then he begins a process of sanctifying us. Sanctification means to set apart as unique or special. Sanctification means to set something or someone apart, put it in a unique place, and make it special. I've defined it like the dishes in your dining room. They are set apart. They're not in the kitchen with the regular stuff. They got their own room. They're set apart as unique or special. They're not treated like all the other dishes, their own room, their own glass cabinet, because those dining room dishes are unique or special. So he says, after you save her, because you sacrifice for her, you are to sanctify her or to set her apart as unique or special. Now, the purpose of sanctification is to take somebody from where they are and turn them into what they ought to be. The goal is to see a transformation occur through the influence of love called sanctification. You say, well, what if she's resisting it? What if she's not working with me? What if she's not cooperating with me? You've got to own that and say, okay, she's got this flaw, this flaw, this flaw, and this flaw. I take responsibility, because your job is to align yourself in such a way that God helps you with her, so that you can have the kind of relationship that God has established marriage to be. It starts with you owning this thing if you're going to be a kingdom man. Sanctification is that process of transformation. What God is calling men to do is to set apart as unique, special, one of a kind. In fact, the reason why many of us are married today is because of how special we treated the lady. In fact, if we would have treated the lady then like we treat them now, they wouldn't have married us. Okay? In fact, some of the ladies didn't like us when we first showed up, if the truth be told. He ain't all that. She told her girlfriend. I'm going to tell you what she told her girlfriend. He ain't all that. I don't like him. He's so ugly. You know? I don't like him. But then you started calling, and then you started treating her nice, then you started complimenting her, how nice she looked, how sweet she talked, how pretty her eyes are, how you like her walk, how you like her talk, how you like it, showing attention, opening the car door, and then she's lucky to get in before you drive off. You know, you were doing all this stuff. You were doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden, she began to feel special. She began to emote and relate to you. So she went from, I don't like him, to he all right. She went from he all right to he kind of nice. She went from he kind of nice to I'm in love. In other words, she shifted. Now, let me give you some good news, guys. Women were created to respond. See, God has built in response mechanisms. It's all of them extra nerves that women have that men don't have. Those are response mechanisms. So they can respond for good or for bad. But they got all these other nerves running through their brain that are stitched to respond. And if you work that thing long enough and you work that thing right, you're going to see sanctification taking place and transformation taking place because she has been created to respond. That's what the text says. Look down, because it says, verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. It doesn't say anything about a woman leaving her father and mother. It says a man leaves his father and mother, and he, the man, is joined to his wife. It doesn't say anything about the wife being joined to the man. It says the man being joined to his wife, but then it says, and then the two becomes one flesh. The two don't become one until a man moves. The man has got to move first. And when she sees the man moving and the man leading and the man owning and the man taking responsibility and the man manning up and the man stepping up and the man treating her as special, she said, oh, God, I got to take some of this, because she was created to respond. It says that he is to sanctify his wife. Finally, you're to be your wife's satisfier. Verse 28, he says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Okay? Christ also the church. See, this is not just about you and her. It's about Christ and the church. So your job is to make Christ look good. Her job is to make the church look good, so that there's a mini model of that relationship in the house where you live. Now, I know most people don't even have this as a point of reference. They weren't taught this, or it was so vague that they were not encouraged in it or held accountable to it. But until we do, we're going to keep having the divorces. We're going to keep having World War III living in the home, because everybody's out of alignment. The man's out of alignment with God. The woman is out of alignment with the husband. The children are out of alignment with the parents. And so you got hell in the home. But if men, it starts with the man, gets in alignment. Adam, where are you? Not Adam and Eve, where are y'all? That he is taking ownership. The husband is to be the wife's satisfier. Do you know Jesus takes responsibility for meeting our needs? You meet the need. If it's a legitimate need and you have the capacity to meet it, you meet the need. That means you're willing to find out what the need is. A lot of guys delay going home because they don't want to talk. Okay? But ladies like to talk, you know, one of their love languages. So, and they want to talk, and they want to talk, and they don't want you to give them a solution, at least not on the front end, because they want to emote it. They want to get it out. They want you. So you gotta sit there and listen, and better not look at your wife. You can't even sneak it and do that, okay? Because that means you're not paying attention. And I know by experience, you ain't paying attention. You try to sneak. You try to sneak a peek, you know. You know, the game coming on, the football game coming on, the baseball game coming on. And they didn't want to talk at the wrong time. You know, the game is on the line. It could go either way. Can we talk? Sometimes your kingdom man just disappears. He's talking about meeting the need. 1 Peter 3:7 says, dwell with your wives in an understanding way. You got to understand the need in order to meet it. So if you don't want her interrupting your time, then you better pick a time that works for her so that you're not missing all time. To meet the need, he says, a man is to meet the need. Nourish and cherish. Nourish means to feed in order to mature. Cherish was used of a bird sitting to warm an egg and spreading its feathers. It had to do with comfort and meeting the need. He says, dwell with your wife. Dwell doesn't mean just live in the house. It means to make yourself at home. It means to own the responsibility of understanding, taking the time to get it, understand it, and address it. There was this man this time. It's this guy. He had two daughters. One was extraordinarily beautiful, and one was extremely homely. Okay? One was just a knockout, a brick house. Mighty, mighty. The other one was just real homely. So this is back years ago when they used to give animals for the father to accept as a dowry to take the daughter. He found out that this rich guy was going to give him 10 cows for one of his daughters. That was a lot of money for the milk and the meat and all that. 10 cows for one of my daughters? Well, he knew which daughter the guy was going to take, because he had one extremely beautiful daughter and one extremely homely daughter. So the day came. He presented his two daughters. The man brought the 10 cows. He brought the 10 cows out, and he says, okay, here are my two daughters. To his shock, he picked the homely daughter. He was just shocked. Of course, the beautiful daughter was shocked too. The homely daughter was shocked. Everybody was shocked. He gave 10 cows to the homely daughter, to the father for the homely daughter. Took her away. A year later, the father went to visit the man who had given him the 10 cows for his homely daughter. When she came out, she was the prettiest thing he had ever seen in his life. She was even prettier than the knockout, than the brick house. He couldn't believe it. Whoa! How did you get so beautiful? The daughter said, when I saw that he viewed me as worth 10 cows, I said, I'm going to start looking like a 10 cow woman. In other words, I'm going to reflect the value he's placed on me. So maybe if your woman is homely, you haven't brought enough cows. You haven't brought enough to the table. And if you increase your cow portion, maybe she gonna change how she does her hair and the kind of things she wears and the kind of talk she talks and the kind of walk she walks and the kind of communication she gives, because you just changed her value. And she wants to look like, sound like, act like, walk like, talk like the value you have placed on her, because you have become a kingdom man, and you got it. Well, we hope that all the men out there have been challenged to become kingdom husbands, and all the ladies who've heard this message will make it available to the man in your life to be this kind of kingdom man. And to help you understand this whole concept of what it looks like to be a kingdom man, a kingdom woman, and raise kingdom kids, we partner with Focus on the Family and develop the whole line of kingdom resources for the family. Kingdom man, kingdom woman, raising kingdom kids, and from that, other devotionals and Bible studies that will help your family remain strong as you pursue what it looks like to build a kingdom home. So, contact us here at The Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222, or log on to TonyEvans.org, get this whole kingdom series so that we can partner with you in strengthening your family. And remember, your generous help and financial support is desperately needed so that we can keep quality ministry coming your way. God bless.